So, yeah, we were able to get our vaccine last week, and we got the email link 3 or 4 days before we were like in Illinois. We became eligible on the 25th of February, and so I was like waiting, and on like the 20th, 21st, something like that, we got the email. I said, all right, you guys can sign up. So we signed up and went through that whole thing. But I decided that I was not going to sign up before the 25th because they actually gave me dates that I could have signed up 22nd, 23rd, 24th. The problem was, is like week before, they had a bunch of people from out of state or just who otherwise were not eligible signing up. So I'm like, I'm going to just wait till the day we're supposed to. So I did. We all signed up, got our names on the list. The morning of, we showed up at 9:45 when our scheduled time was. It was 15 minutes before we can even get on the parking lot, just because of the line getting into the place. Our mass vaccination site here is all in your car. You don't ever leave your car. You just drive up, stick your arm out the window, and they give you the shot, which is pretty great. But it was like an hour and a half until we actually got the shot from the, well, it was about an hour and a half from the time that we were supposed to have gotten, we had our scheduled time till we got our shot. We have reservists, like army reservists who are running the site. And they're like, what time is your appointment? It's like 9:45, like right now. They're like, all right, we've had a problem where a lot of people are showing up hours before their scheduled time. So, like, from what we heard, it was like there were people showing up at 9 a.m. for with 6 o'clock p.m. appointments.
What?
And because the way it works, there's no way to tell until like they check you in. But once they check, you're in a rat maze. There's nothing you could do, and you're in a rat maze of cars. It's not like you can just lift up the gate and have somebody walk out. Like you're there. So they're gonna give it to you anyway. So I guess they started checking after that, like before people even pulled onto the lot.
That's
Yeah.
wild.
It was crazy. I know people that also got the link, and like it was like an hour or two after we did that they tried. And all the appointments were taken for the day for like that span of time that they had appointments available. But like a day or two later, she was able to get an appointment for like we got ours on a Thursday. She got hers on a Saturday. So,
12 more days, Tony.
Well, hopefully you will get notification before that so you can sign up.
We'll see. I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world.
Nah. I mean, it's been almost a year. I mean, it will have been over a year by the time you can. I mean,
Yeah,
well, at
we
least
are
in
actually.
Illinois, our shutdown started the 13th of March.
Yeah, we haven't had one of those yet.
Oh, well, yeah.
Shutdown. That whole thing with like Texas and their mask mandate, like they're getting rid of all their mask mandates now. It's like, oh well, in Missouri we never had one, so
Oh, look at you, Texas.
yeah, woo,
Bunch of
Texas, land of
wussies
the free, huh? We never had one. All the
Oh.
businesses here just have ignored all of the guidelines to no penalty.
Yeah, we had some guidelines, and there were some businesses around here that were ignoring it, and they're like, yeah, come see us, we're open. And then the county sheriff started coming around and shutting them down.
It's pretty wild
Things have
stuff.
opened back up though, so yeah. Things have opened back up since then because the positivity numbers are going down.
That's just how it's going to
Hopefully they
be
stay
for
that
a couple
way.
months.
Here's hoping.
I'm going to be
Yeah,
shaving
we're
my meat plague beard.
What about that what about your plague locks? Are you gonna do anything with those?
Oh, God, yeah. As
Saw
soon
that
as I
picture you
get a
posted
couple
the other
inches.
day.
Oh, it's outrageous. As soon as I get, a comfortable distance having like post-vaccine, oof, the haircut is incoming. It is a
Yeah.
dire situation over here.
Yeah, I'm like trying to keep really close track of who's got the vaccine and who doesn't. So like, all right, who can we plan things with?
Yeah. Who can come over for dinner?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or just to play a board game.
Yeah, oh my God, I know.
I have a lot of games.
And I haven't stopped buying them during the pandemic.
Right? I'm the same way.
Yep.
I am right there with you. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is David.
We're the backseat producers. I should be able to get that out a little easier than that after 500 times.
Yeah, no kidding.
A one, a two, and you know what to do.
Yep.
So, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yep.
The only thing I knew about this movie before I watched it was that it was Chadwick Boseman's one of his last couple of movies. I wasn't exactly sure when we decided to watch this. Turns out it was his last performance on film. I was just looking at a few things. He died 12 days, 13 days, something like that, after filming. Less than 2 weeks after filming it wrapped, he died.
Yeah. So, he looks rough.
He does
not look Black Panther-y.
No, he doesn't. He didn't look sick. I mean, knowing he looked, yeah, but it looked appropriate for the role if you didn't know, like he just looked like he was in the role.
Sure. I'll give you that.
But yeah, like, cause that was Julie's first question. She's like, so did he look sick? I said, well, he didn't look like Black Panther. Like he did not look as buff and filled out and not even filled out. Just,
you could see it in his face.
Yeah. He was drawn.
Like real.
He was
yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And his whole body was just, he was smaller.
Yeah.
He was a lot more, he was a lot thinner.
Yeah. Chemo's a hell of a drug, man.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So what'd you think of the movie?
Wild Ride. I really liked the movie. I like plays, and this is, based on a play. So it's basically a play.
Right.
Like play dialogue is usually, really good. And this had great dialogue, as well as like the acting talent in this movie was exceptional.
I 100% agree. I was probably about 5 minutes in and I said, this feels like it was a play because I didn't know. And I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. My instincts were not wrong.
Yeah. I knew it was a play, but obviously I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. Like the scene where we first see the guys, in the band room, like before Ma Rainey gets there and they're all just chatting. It's like, this feels like a play. There's just, it's just too constricted in that space of these men in that room, just talking together. Like this feels like a play.
Yep.
For
sure.
100%.
And it was.
It was. Turns out.
Okay. So I do want to talk about the biggest surprise to me in this movie. Chadwick Boseman can fucking act, man.
Oh, man. Can
that
he?
That shit was like, I was like, ho-hum about this dude. Cause like, mostly everything I've seen him in was, Black Panther. And then he was in that dumbass 21 Bridges police drama movie.
Yeah.
Which I didn't see, but I watched the preview. I'm like, why would anyone watch this movie? Right,
so I actually wanted to see that movie.
It looked terrible. Anyway, so I was like, okay, well, Black Panther's gone, that sucks. But now, holy shit, that guy was a talent we lost.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I want to see 42 now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when we lost Heath Ledger, like post Dark Knight. It's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, go out on a high note.
Yep. And, I mean, Chadwick Boseman's always going to be Black Panther. Mm-hmm. But man, he acted his ass off in this movie. Just incredible.
Yep.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie also. the acting, his acting was amazing. All of the acting was amazing. Like,
yep.
there was not a role that wasn't really well acted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Him and Viola Davis, like, and the thing is, they didn't even interact that much. Like, they had their own separate storyline, like separate parallel storylines happening. But in both of those spaces, they just dominated.
Yes.
And it was like a pleasure to watch either one of them in a scene.
I really enjoyed also, like, as amazing as his acting was, when the two of them went head to head, like, with the conflict of their characters.
Yep.
Like, they both rose to that. Like, it was, there was not, there was it was just an escalation of acting talent right there that met in during that conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, the pace of the movie is good. The, like, intensity was weirdly variable. Like, the band is in that room just jacking around, you know, bullshitting while they're, like, supposed to be rehearsing, but no one's actually doing that, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, they're given Chadwick Boseman shit, and then he launches into this complex story about how there's a group of dudes raped his mom, and it's like, the conversation has turned. we have turned.
Yeah, they were giving him shit, and he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to take shit from a white man, and here's why. And it's like, whoa, I was not expecting that story.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. The acting was great. The music was really good. I watched the movie, and then immediately after watched the, like, they did a legacy of thing where they kind of talked, and it was kind of all over the place, but it was hosted by the guy who played Toledo. And also, like, they also interviewed most of the cast, and Denzel Washington, because he was a producer.
Yeah. Cause he's doing, Wilson's plays.
Yeah. After that one, I am really looking forward to seeing more of those plays. Cause this was phenomenally written. The story was really good.
Well,
so
the
music got one other in I'm sorry, what? You're breaking up a little bit. Probably my internet's just shitty again. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
it is. I've given this device priority. I rebooted right before we started. Holden's gaming, and my internet is just not going fast this evening. Like, it's half the speed it's supposed to be coming into the house. I don't know what's going on.
Tony, you get the vaccine.
I did just... You know, I thought my 5G would be better now. I mean, the chip is in my arm.
It's taking over the broadband. Maybe I hooked this up to my...
You know what? I got hooked this up to my phone. Maybe that's the problem. Get the 5G going. You know what? There's something else running on here. Maybe that's part of the problem. Let me... see if that helps at all. Anyway, the music is really good. I like how they start with the music too, in the tent. That tent scene was really good.
Yeah, it tonally sets a scene as the backdrop of the movie, and also, you know, you really get a good. It kind of lets Viola Davis, like, command a room.
You know, I think it's it's necessary also because the movie's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Yeah.
And we see her there, but then we don't see her for like a half an hour. Mm-hmm. Like, the first 20 minutes, half an hour of the movie we don't even see her again. So I think it's almost necessary to kind of get that establishing that, you know, this is about her, and this is who she is, and this is why it's a big deal that we're following these guys. Yeah.
Well, I think it's also important. That opening scene with those kids running through the woods and then the dogs, I was like, but then it turned again on me. I think it's also important because, like, she is difficult to deal with in the studio, and seeing the popularity that she has beforehand softens that exchange. right? Because like without the context of, oh shit, she actually is this popular. Like she's constantly telling the guy, he's like, I'm just this fucking popular, deal with it. And like if you don't actually see that, you just have her telling you, and like, you know, she's a hard ass bitch. So like,
yeah, she really pushes for what she wants, but you can see because of that opening scene, like, yeah, she's earned it. She's earned the right to throw her weight around.
Yeah. And it isn't until later that she lays out the business for for Cutler. Yeah.
So one of the interesting things, like there's so much interesting that's going on with the movie and with some of the stuff that happens behind the scenes also, that I'd learned through the course of that little documentary, which is only a half an hour long. It's worth watching if you like the movie.
I did not watch it.
Yeah, I figured. I know how you are. You and documentaries are, but
I don't like learning.
I know. So I'm going to make you now. The amount of effort they put in getting this right, because I didn't know until about three quarters of the way through the movie and then looking it up, that Rainey is a real person. Mm. I had never heard that name, which is just a lack of information that I've ever had access to. But she was called the Mother of the Blues. And like Bessie Smith, who is shown in this movie as like the young woman who's alongside her, yeah, she is the one that is most like is better known. Like people saw her more. And like what they pointed out in the documentary was like, well, you know, Ma Rainey was bold and brash and big and loud and not as palatable for some people as somebody like Bessie Smith was. And that's why Bessie Smith, like they said, they had like hundreds of reference photos that they could look at of Bessie Smith, and the costume designer and person who was really helping set the scene for Viola Davis and costuming and all that said she found like 7 photos of Ma Rainey, like total. That's it. Yeah. So they just didn't have a lot to work with. You know, it was the few photos they had plus the stories people had about her, which is why they went with the, you know, they said it looked like she was wearing grease paint when she was on stage. So that's why they just leaned into that aesthetic when she was in the tent. The designer, the costume designer is an older white lady. And like, to their credit, like, that was the white face that I saw when we were doing the documentary. Like it seemed like everybody behind the scenes was black, which is good because this is a very black story. And she wasn't, but apparently she did hundreds of reference drawings. She was talking about the costume and she's like, I made sure the stitching was done by hand and not very well done because I wanted to look right. She meticulously did that for all the costuming of the extras also. And Viola Davis tells this great story. She's like, yeah, I was up there and I saw all those people in that tent and there had to have been at least 100 extras in there. And she went to every one of them and explained to them every, like what their costumes were made of and why it was important that it was made this way and just kind of helped set the stage for what it meant to be wearing the outfits they were wearing and going to a Ma Rainey show. And she's like, it was really touching to see that she talked to everybody that way and just worked so hard to get that right. Branford Marsalis, the music for this. And he was talking about Chad Bozeman and he was like, yeah, he talked to me and he's like, is there any way I can get a fingering chart for the trumpet? And he's like, man, it's going to, and play a trumpet. What do you need that for? He's like, no, I want to get it right. So I made him a fingering chart. You know, I drew it up for him, showed him, you know, where his finger placement needed to be for each of the songs. And he said, that dude learned it. He said, I never seen anything like that out of an actor before. He said, you know, a lot of actors are willing to work out and, you know, physically work their bodies for a role. And I've never seen an actor do this to get that right for this. He goes, that man absolutely professional, absolutely did the work he needed to do to make it look right. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
Because he was like, yeah, we can just get you somebody to do that. You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie like felt authentic. And like everybody was constantly sweaty, which, you know,
yeah.
Like, we lose a bit in old-timey stuff. Like, you know, HVAC is a relatively recent invention. And
yeah, well, it was a hot Chicago summer. And, you know, even until 40 years ago, most of Chicago did not have HVAC. Like, they just didn't. And this was almost 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's neat. I like that. I also like that they included the weird thing about her and that girl.
Yeah.
Like, some speculation of, like, a weird romance there.
Yep.
Not weird because they're two women, but weird because there's a substantial age difference.
Right. Well, and they're, so it was weird, like the weird thing to me was to learn that Bessie Smith is somebody who becomes a popular artist. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not just some rando girl following Ma Rainey around. She is somebody who becomes somebody. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I appreciated learning, but the movie never told me that. Like, that was something I learned by looking deeper into it. You know, the thing about this movie is it made me want to learn more about these people. Mm-hmm. Just because it was so well made.
Yeah. I made the joke when we were picking this movie that since we didn't do any movie about black people for Black History Month, we should do this and for the recently dead guy thing. But like, this is the interesting bits of like black history that we've lost. Like,
yeah,
that, you know, has been whitewashed. And I actually love the bit at the end where they take his music and then just have this like sterile, gross white band performing it. And it's like all of the heart of the music is just completely removed.
Yeah. Well, and you can see how that sanitized music was what was out for certain audiences. That was what was popular, but that was not what that music was, not even a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's actually a really good book I've been reading or was reading, I guess. Read. Sorry. Just weird. Read. I'm not currently actively reading the thing because I've read it. I've finished it. White Negroes by Lauren Michelle Jackson. It's a pretty like thorough breakdown of like how black performers and black artists are used as a crutch by white performers. In particular, she uses Christina Aguilera as one of her examples, like to change your image as a white female performer, like you can black it up to appear older and more dangerous. It's just an interesting way to see that the way the culture is appropriated and kind of weaponized to, you know, serve some white person's whatever.
Yeah.
Really good
person. Yeah. So there's one scene in particular that I want to talk about just because it really struck me. And it was the scene where he confronts, I can't remember if it's Toledo or Cutler, about
Cutler.
God. Mm-hmm. And like, he has this incredible monologue about where's God? Where was God when my mom was getting raped and when she was begging for that, for mercy and for help? Where was that? You know, fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's an incredibly well performed scene, but like after the fact, like, because if they didn't, and I'm sure they didn't, because it didn't sound like anybody knew that he was dying, that movie feels like there's something a whole lot more behind it, like from Chadwick Boseman. Like, mm-hmm. like watching that scene, it felt like this was coming from Chadwick Boseman, not from Levy, mm-hmm. not from, like, it served the character of Levy, but it felt like it was coming from a very real place. Like, I don't deserve what I am handed that I have been dealt, and it's raging against God. And it was, man, that was, that struck me really hard watching it. That like, it just, it, like, it just got the sense about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, I felt the same way watching that scene. Like, there were a couple instances too, where it was like, ugh, like, just the extra context of knowing what he was going through at the time that he was also filming this. It's like, man, this must have been a weird scene to film. Like, just...
Yeah.
Like, you're acting, but also you don't have to go very far to start channeling some feelings about this subject.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and the other thing that this struck me was when he was trying to bust through the door.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And like the physical effort he put into trying to bust through that door. And it's like, man, just knowing like what he must have been going through at the time, like that, like I felt really bad that he was putting himself through that for that scene. But it was absolutely necessary and absolutely was an amazing sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the dude was a beast, man.
Yeah.
Dude was a beast. Yep. Fuck cancer.
Fuck cancer, indeed. And today is triple negative day for breast cancer. I know he didn't die of breast cancer, but the only reason I'm mentioning is because I get notifications from BCRF because of Sausage Fest. They're doing 4 times matching today on breast cancer donations for BCRF today.
What the hell does triple negative mean?
I don't know exactly. It's a, like, I see them talking about it. Honestly, I've not researched that to know, but maybe we should do that and educate ourselves.
Emerging therapies and triple negative breast cancer. What is triple negative breast cancer? The breast cancer community highlights a subtype of the disease defined by its aggressive nature and limited treatment options. Then it goes into a long explanation about what that diagnosis means specifically, which I will not read because I will satisfy myself knowing that it is a type of breast cancer.
It is a particularly nasty type of breast cancer.
It is bad.
Yep. That's probably good enough to know that.
Yeah. I'm not smart enough to understand what the rest of that means, but I understand bad. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he did posthumously win a Golden Globe for his performance.
Yeah. Right? That happened just over the weekend.
Yep.
The Golden Globe win.
I suspect an Oscar is probably in his, future as well.
For this performance. Yeah. Yeah. That is not a surprise.
Actually, have the nominations even come out yet?
I haven't seen them, though by now they're normally out.
Yeah, this actually feels really late in the season for them not to.
It does.
But also, you know.
Yeah, like how many things were released?
Yeah. I mean, okay, so they have the predictions out, but they don't have. It doesn't tell me when they are coming out, though. I have no idea when it's coming out. They've got nothing.
My internet's so jacked up that I can't even get to Google right now, so that's awesome.
The awards have been postponed. Originally, the broadcast was slated for February 28th, but it was rescheduled to April 25th.
Hmm. Normally this is about the time of the year when we have the Oscars.
Yeah, because like all the award ceremonies are like, you know, every weekend for a month or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I don't even know when they're going to announce the nominees.
Generally, it's a month or so before, so it's got to be coming up.
Oh, yeah, with Oscar voting for nominees set to take place between March 5th and March 10th, so this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Voting's this week, so probably a week, week and a half from now,
mm-hmm.
we'll get some idea.
I suspect an Oscar.
I do, too.
I looked at some of the Golden Globe other nominees for stuff, and I don't recognize any of those movies. Just, I haven't gone to see a movie in...
Yeah, I know.
14 months?
So this month is both the birthday of Julie and myself, and it's a milestone for us. And we're talking about, like, Mark's Theaters here in town will rent you out a theater for $100. Mm-hmm. So we talked about doing it just for the four of us renting out a theater. There's just not a whole lot of options for what to see if you do rent out the theater, though. That's there's a new Disney flick that Julie and Aaron especially have been talking about seeing. So I think we may still do that. The Raya and the Last Dragon.
Sure.
I don't know. It's a Disney movie, so I don't know if we'll do that or not. But I can tell you, like, one of the first things that's going to happen once I'm a couple of weeks out from that second shot, I'm going to go to a movie. Like, I don't care if I have to sit in the back corner of a theater with my mask on the whole time. I miss it, but I want to do it and be safe. Like, I miss that experience of. Yeah, I just miss that experience of shutting off and focusing on the movie and enjoying that experience. That's something that we've done a couple of times over the last month or two, where we've just declared, okay, this is a family movie night. Phones get put away, make some snacks, put a movie on. Everybody just sits and watches the movie like as if we were in a theater. And we've done a few game nights. Yep, we've done a few game nights with the same phones get put away because inevitably at some point we end up pulling up some Jackbox games for just the four of us. So we got to pull out our devices for that. But if we're just playing a board game, phones get put away. Let's just enjoy this. Since we have to do this, let's enjoy it.
and your kids are at a fun age to play games with too.
Yeah.
So you can play like adult games.
Right.
You don't have to play shitty kids games where you got to pretend to lose. Now Eric can just beat you at the game, honestly.
Oh, yeah, you won. No, now it's, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
You did win.
Yeah, we're not playing this anymore. Ah, damn, I missed that. Holy shit.
Right? So, I don't have a ton else to say about the movie. It was just really well made. The ending was a bit surprising to me with that turn that Levy takes. I didn't see that coming. Like,
I didn't see that coming.
What happens to his music? What happens to his music? Yeah, I saw that coming, but like, I didn't see him snapping that way.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me. Which, I mean, I don't know why it was. Like, he'd already pulled a knife on the dude, like another dude earlier, over something intensely inconsequential.
Yeah, and like the way he pulled the knife the first time, I was like, oh, you're just jacking around. Then, like, he just kept going.
It's yeah.
Like, oh, no, you're not just jacking around. You've lost it.
Yeah, you've got some stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was caught off guard by that.
I was too, but it wasn't like I didn't feel it wasn't earned.
Yep.
Like they did set it up beforehand. Like it wasn't a complete shock. It was just a surprise. Like, oh, I didn't know we were going here.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this. Yeah.
And then when he dies, it's like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm. You ever wonder how long it actually takes someone to die when they get stabbed in the back?
That was a question I had. That felt very quick.
Now, I guess, like, if you rupture some stuff and, like, your abdominal cavity fills with, like, intestinal shit and stuff, like, but that's more like an infection situation.
Yeah.
Like, when you go into sepsis, but, like, you don't, that's, like, not, your body just doesn't shut down immediately, right? Like,
no.
Your body, like.
Well, I wondered if he didn't, like, because he kind of came up from the back, so I wasn't sure if he, like, got a lung or something, because he was coughing blood. Like, he was spraying bits of blood when he was coughing. So, like, maybe he punctured a lung, but that seems a little quick.
Yeah, quick, because he's still got another one.
Yeah, right?
And you can still make it work with one. But it sucks.
It does. But, you know, it's sort of the story.
Well, these are the details.
Like, I was like, wow, that was quick, but you know what? It's fine. We're wrapping up the story. We're getting to a point that wasn't the point of the movie. Yeah. But they wanted it to happen for the story they were telling. So, all right.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to go for a gruesome throat slicing arterial spray. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not this movie.
No, not at all. And God damn it, if this isn't the second Netflix movie in a row that I think breaks the 2/3 rule. Yeah. Like, this was...
It was just solid.
This felt like a full movie.
Mm-hmm. It felt like a full movie. Like, I don't have any complaints about the movie.
No, I don't either.
And I think the play aspect, like, the combination of the play aspect and also their dedication to, like, making it authentic... probably is where the difference between like other Netflix movies, that might be the missing third.
Yeah. Right?
Because even with the Devil All the Time, like, you know, it was based on an existing work already and the acting talent was really good. So like the source material was solid. The core of people doing the performance was solid. So it was just a lot of combinations of solid entities that, you know, just came together the right way.
Right. Well, and so I think even more with The Devil All the Time, it was easier to pass the 2/3 rule because it didn't have special effects that they were really dealing with, or, you know, because sometimes that's the thing that gets dropped is like, we have this high concept movie, but the effects don't support the story they're telling.
Yeah.
Either of these movies were effects heavy. But I think this one breaks the 2/3 rule harder just because we had the acting talent, which, okay, you know, the source material is the source material. You know, that's going to be a third. The acting talent was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But when you've got a good producer behind the project too, it makes it easier to get the right people.
Yeah. And Denzel's like got experience.
He does. He's got a lot of cred too with pulling people together. Like, you have to imagine, you know, he was just able to pick up the phone and say, "Hey guys, I got this movie I want to make."
Well, I mean, he was Chadwick Boseman's mentor,
right?
Like, he put him through acting school too, I think.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. No. Like, they had a long. What was this thing in here? They got a long relationship. Denzel Washington, who produced this film, was a mentor to Chadwick Boseman since his college years. When Denzel received his 2019 AFI Lifetime Achievement Award, Boseman recounted that he was one of 9 of Felicia Rashad's Howard University acting students for whom Washington paid the full summer program tuition at the British Academy of Dramatic Acting in Oxford.
Wow.
Yeah, no, so they've had a relationship for a while. So,
yeah,
I mean, Denzel could pick up the phone and call like most people just in general and be like, you want this project?
But, sure.
But Chadwick Boseman in particular.
Right. But oh, also, yeah. I think.
I think another component to why the adaptation of a play to film is a lot easier than the adaptation of a novel to film. So I think that the source material difference here probably did play a big factor.
Sure. Well, I think the other thing that they got very, the two other things that they got very right that they could have failed on was the look, like the whole aesthetic of the movie. Everything looked very real. Everything felt like it should have been that way. Apparently one of the big things they changed from the play to the movie was that the play was set in winter. And they changed it to being set in summer because, like, that heat, the aspect of that, just that the heat plus the rising tension, like it added to that rising tension. I think that was 100% the right call there.
Yep.
Where, you know, with the winter, you could have made it a little more claustrophobic, but I did like the aspect of the summer and the heat because you also got to see like all the the labor, the white day laborers in Chicago looking at these black men walking through the city who are dressed to the nines, you know, like, like they know, they know their shit. They're, you know, they're professional musicians, and these guys are just struggling to get a job that day.
Yeah.
So that was really good. And like the summertime aspect of that added to it, you wouldn't have really seen the same thing in the winter.
Yeah. It would just be wearing a coat.
Right. The other thing was just the music. The music was just really good. And yeah, if you would have fucked up the music, that would have nailed the 2/3 rule.
Yeah.
Cause everything else was so good. If they would have dropped the ball in the music, that would have just solidified the 2/3 rule. But no, this was this excelled where a lot of Netflix movies drop the ball.
For sure. My eye has been twitching for 2 days and is driving me insane.
It's the, I'm almost allowed to get a vaccine eye twitch.
It is just, and it'll stop for a while and then start again. It's just driving me crazy and I don't know what to do about it. And I would ask Luke about it, but he always says the same thing. He always tells me to put a warm compress on it.
He just wants you blindfolded.
Yeah. I just need a heated eye patch.
Oh, that actually sounds good.
That does sound good.
That sounds very pleasant. Like one of those sleep masks with... Well, I know they have those. Like you have the heat masks with the like the beans in them that you could either throw in the freezer or you can put them in the microwave to warm them up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are times when my... if I've rubbed my eyes the wrong way with contacts, it's like, oh, I just need to... You just want that soothing... Yeah, that would be great.
What else about this movie? So Fences was the first film adaptation Denzel did of August Wilson's plays.
Oh, okay.
So Viola Davis won an Academy Award for her performance in that.
Yep.
She did not get the Golden Globe for this one, though. I wonder if she'll try and do all 10. I mean, I'm in for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing stuff about Fences. I never saw it.
Yeah, the but only I remember, thing I remember it was... about it was that at like some one of the award shows, somebody called it Hidden Fences, where they just like merged hidden figures and fences into the same movie.
Yep. And if I'm not mistaken, Denzel was in Fences also.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
My Google has stopped working, so I can't look things up anymore on, on my computer. Yeah, like it's just not working. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, actually, the weird thing is your video quality has improved dramatically.
I shut some things off on the computer, so
that's... he was in Fences.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so, well, whatever you did, it's working. Because now you are quite clear.
That, well, and Holden was gaming earlier, so I think that might have been part of it. He had 3 game nights this week. He has already had 3 game nights this week.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, so he had our game on Sunday. He had another one on Monday. He got called into work last night, and then he was gaming this evening. So, like, he's been a busy dude. Between that and then like until 6, he's in rehearsal for Adam's Family.
Jesus, man, can you remember having energy like that?
I don't feel like I do remember that. Like it's been a long time.
Like most of my days in this room, and that like sounds just exhausting.
I'm that busy like 4 days a year. And then I'm just drained for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Like that Thursday through Monday, I guess that's 5 days. Thursday through Monday of Archon is just,
yeah.
Though Monday, most of Monday, about 2/3 of Monday is spent relaxing / napping, trying to recover.
I've never been a big nap person, but every day around 4:45, 5 o'clock now, I take myself a little 45-minute. I feel like that is a trend that will continue post COVID.
I do that every so often. I'll shut down for the day and just go sit in the recliner for a little
quiet time.
Yep.
One of the cats always joins me. We just have a little snooze together.
Nice. Very nice. So we need a movie for next week.
Oh, shit. Every goddamn time.
Every week we need another one.
I know. It's like having a job.
Kind of.
God, you know what? I want a pulled pork sandwich. God, I want a pulled pork sandwich.
That doesn't sound bad.
It's also not a movie, Tori.
It is not a movie. I just tried to open up Netflix on my phone and I get a general device error. So that's fun. I'm wondering if it's because it left me. I wonder if it's got an update. That's normally what that means.
Okay. How about this? Judas and the Black Messiah.
It is no longer available.
Oh, on HBO Max?
If it's available, it's only available for like today. I think it's available through tomorrow.
Sheep shingles.
Yeah. I think it's just about up done with its 31-day cycle.
God damn it.
If it's not already. Because, yeah, I wanted to see that one too, but I know it's coming to an end.
Streams through March 14th. You're a fucking liar, Tony.
Oh, good. We still have a little bit of time.
Fucking liar.
I am a liar. Let's do it.
You know who's in that, don't you?
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm blanking on his name. Isn't it the guy that was in Get Out?
Yep. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
That is not how you pronounce that.
That's not how you pronounce it, but that's exactly the guy who I'm thinking of.
Actually, that might be how you pronounce that. Kaluuya.
Kaluuya? That might be it.
That might be how you pronounce that. But not only him, Jesse Plemons, which we just saw in the I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Yep.
Dominic Fishback, whom we both loved in whatever that fucking movie was we watched.
A Power Project? Project Power.
Yep. That's the end of the interesting list.
Perfect. Those are all solid acting talents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the Dominic Thorne, the chick from If Beale Street Could Talk.
Oh, yeah.
A movie I do not remember that well.
That was a good movie.
We'll take your word for it.
All right. Done.
Done. Ah, shit. I got to remember. Oh, wait. No, I got plenty of time. It leaves after we would record.
So right.
I don't have an excuse not to watch it.
Nope. Unless we push a week, we're fine. We are fine. Damn. And who knows? We may have a special episode that we record between then and now. If we end up talking about WandaVision.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about maybe doing a little WandaVision special recording on Friday evening.
Yeah. You know, if we did that, though, we would have to not talk about it all day Friday.
I know.
I don't know that that's in the cards for me.
Yeah, I'm thinking about taking a little nap tomorrow afternoon. Just staying up and watching it.
Oh, at 2:30 or 2 in the morning?
2 in the morning. I did that. So last week, I don't know, I for whatever reason, I just could not sleep.
Yeah.
And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And like, I tried to go to bed and I just couldn't sleep. And like, I ate something that didn't agree with me. So I got up and I'm like, fuck it. So I just watched WandaVision, then went to bed.
It's really interesting that like now that it's actually important not get spoiled on it, it has disrupted my morning routine on Friday. Like so trash day here is on Fridays, so normally what I do is I wake up, I fuck around on my phone for too long, then I clean the entire house, because it's just really easy on trash day.
Like, sure.
Just do everything all at once. And then, you know, like wander off to work. Now I got to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I can't look at my phone for half an hour until I watch this fucking thing.
Yep. Ugh. Yeah. I've had to avoid, so on my phone, if I if I swipe to the right to get to the leftmost window, it's just a Google News feed. Like, I have to remember not to do that. If I see a notification for any news app on Friday, I just put the phone down. Like, nope.
Yep.
I just check to make sure there's no, I just check to see if I have any Outlook notifications on my phone. Otherwise, I put it aside. Yeah. And like, Aaron didn't watch for the first 3 or 4 episodes. And we're like, you should watch it. I think you'd really like it. And then she just binged it. Like, all she's been getting up at like 6:30 in the morning to watch it before school. Last week she got up late and she was so pissed. It's like, oh God, now I have to wait. So like, she has ESS, which I don't know exactly what that stands for. It's basically, it's like study hall. They have a study hall period.
Yeah.
Well, they do block learning, so they don't get every class every day. Yeah. They do it in like hour and a half long blocks, twice a week. And then they have one day where they do shortened schedules for every class. Well, Friday, she has her ESS block. So it's like, she's like, all right, it's time. Do you have any meetings? Cause I'm going to watch it. If you want to watch it with me, she'll put it on the TV. So yeah. All right. I didn't have the heart to tell her that I'd already seen it. So I just watched it again.
That's a weird way. It always weirds me out. Like, when you hear how different schools handle like the class load thing. Like, so what we did was, you had 7 classes.
Well,
you had every class every day. But like, the way they did the lunch situation was every grade, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, had half an hour for lunch. Okay. So the way that they fixed this problem for the classes is you had 1 half-hour class and then you had 1 hour class, right? But they couldn't make them the same thing every day. So the schedule would rotate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that's wild.
Like, yeah. So like, on day 7, you'd start your 7th period class first and then just walk through the rest of the schedule.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I do not think that was the way to solve the problem.
No. So they're only doing the block scheduling because of the remote learning that they're doing, because they're also only doing 5 hours a day.
I mean, honestly, more than that seems really fucking excessive.
You know, there's a lot of parents that are like, they only get 35 minutes for each class. And it's like, do you know how much fucking around happens in a normal class?
Like, oh, no shit.
Honestly,
I don't understand how these people don't fucking remember. Like, my clearest, earliest memories are of high school.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the point in your life where you've become an adult and you start making like adult memories. And like, that's like the first types of shit you remember like real clearly, because you were an adult at that time.
Right.
Right. And I don't understand these like parents who just have like fucking forgotten what high school is like. Like, it can't be different now either. It's like, it has to be the same.
It's not. It's not different.
Like, you know, the times have changed. So there's like, you know, it's grown up with the times, but it's still fucking high school. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So like, Erin starts her day at 7:45. That's her first class starts at 7:45 and she's done at 12:45.
God damn. That's nice.
That's it. Holden doesn't start till 8 and he's done at 11:45, because as a senior, So as like high school, they actually have 7 periods and then an early bird period where you can show up an hour early if you can get there, because the buses don't run that early. So it's mostly for the upperclassmen do that, unless you have like some extracurricular that you're in that requires you to take an extra class or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Like band or choir or something like that.
Or if you're a fucking idiot and you sign up for a liturgical choir that meets at like 7:15 in the morning when class doesn't start till 8.
Yep. That kind of thing.
But you get credit for it, tell me.
Well, so the other thing is because they have the availability of early bird, you can just not take the 7th hour. Mm-hmm. So he, as a senior who is only had a couple of required things left in his last year, he is not taking an early bird, and he's also taking a seventh hour. So he has like an even shorter day than most people, which I did the exact same thing my senior year.
Me too. I
could have graduated in December when I was a senior, and I'm like, I got nothing better to do. I'll just keep going to school. So I just kept going to school for my last semester.
I probably could have, but I was taking a bunch of college credit courses anyway, so it was like I was getting the credit I would have gotten anyway.
Yeah.
But I took the double study hall for my second semester senior year, and the way that, like, because our schedule rotated, it means that I didn't have to show up on time some days and could leave early, like, at most of the time.
Yep.
Ugh, that was a good year.
Yeah, it was great. I had friends that drove, so I went to school in a Fiero and home from school in a Camaro every day. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, I had friends that drove, and those were the cars they drove.
I was driving myself. It was wonderful. If I got a long lunch, I'll just go get myself what I want, or show up late or leave early.
Yeah, we could not afford a third car at that point, so I did not drive myself to school. And then my dad got a third car shortly after I graduated, like right around the time I graduated, and I was borrowing it for the night, and that's when I got into my horrendous car accident that totaled the vehicle like weeks after he got it. The accident was 100% not my fault. Some dude ran a red light. But yeah, that was rough. Yeah. It wasn't a new car, but still, it was still rough. Yeah. New to us.
Yeah. When I turned 16, I bought this like real shitty, like Mazda 323. And then I drove that thing for like 2 or 3 years before I totaled it. It still wasn't even totaled when I got into the accident, but
yeah,
it was still drivable, but it was not going to last much longer. I think it didn't even have power steering. Oof.
Ooh. Wow.
Big ass heavy car. Like full body turns on that wheel.
I had the first car I drove was a 76 Malibu Classic station wagon. That thing was, we called it the boat. Oh, also it was sky blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, fortunately, like, it was one of the ones that didn't have the wood panel bottoms, like, cause they had some that had the wood panel bottoms on them. A few times the engine would just die.
Sure.
And sometimes it would happen when I was in the middle of a turn. And when that happened, the power steering would go out. And I understand the pain of trying to turn a car without power steering.
Yeah.
But when it is a 76 Malibu Classic station wagon, it takes a lot of effort to make that thing want to turn.
I fucking bet. So long.
Yeah, it was. I'm still very comfortable driving a big car like that. It's probably just because of that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's call it.
Yeah. I'm going to go out and walk.
Enjoy this weather a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I've been getting up early and walking, but they're doing construction. So the way my watch counts exercise minutes is my heart rate has to be consistent above a certain point for a duration of time. But they're doing construction in my neighborhood. So like I was walking this morning, you know, and like they were just moving trucks in and out of everywhere. So like I had to stop. So I got all these, so I like wasn't for the first 10 minutes, I didn't get any sort of consistent thing going. So
yeah,
it just didn't count for the 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. You know, now I got to walk around the neighborhood like a weirdo.
Make sure you get a flashlight with you and you shine it at people's windows.
Yeah, definitely in the windows.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was walking regularly, I saw some things. That was always interesting.
That, you know, that is the nice thing about walking, though. Like, I just like looking at stuff, and like, there's a lot of, you know, where I live is basically farmland.
Mm-hmm.
And so like a lot of people around here maybe within a quarter mile of my house. Chickens, goats, pigs, horses.
Just wow.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Like I can see a chicken coop from my front porch.
Yeah, I didn't see too much of that. We did have some bats in the neighborhood. Mm. Those are always cool.
Yeah, bats
are just cool. Hear them screeching as they're flying around the lights.
Mm. Yeah, eating all them fucking bugs.
Yeah, I keep saying I want to, if I could get up in one of the trees in our backyard, I'd put a bat house back there. Yeah. We actually, we've had an owl showing up a lot over the past year or so. Just sits in, because we have those big trees in the backyard. Yeah, it just sits up in one of those trees and just, whoo, whoo, whoo. Oh, our buddy's back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got a couple owls around here. They sound like monkeys.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
We do have some woodpeckers somewhere in the neighborhood too. Every so often, and it's normally in the summer, you just hear them just rattling away at something.
Rattling away. Yeah.
Yep.
Nature can be cool.
It is. Yep.
It all right. Shit. All
right. Yep. Have a good walk.
Yep.
See you next week.
Yep. See you.